preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and this week we're continuing our series on the holiness of God. And we started last week by looking into Isaiah chapter 6 and Isaiah's calling when he saw the Lord high and lifted up on his throne. Well, this week we turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. This is a powerful vision of God that Ezekiel receives. And I believe in our day there is nothing that is more important to consider is the holiness of God. As we open up the text in Ezekiel chapter 1 this week, we've entered into a point of Israel's history when the Lord himself had become an enemy to the covenant people. That's a hard thing to say, isn't it? I was reading Jeremiah chapter 21, and I came across this statement. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and fury and great wrath. I will strike the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. That city, dear friend, was Jerusalem. What had happened that God would strike his own city? Now, if the New Testament says that judgment begins in the house of God, I want to know how it came to that point in the past. The painful answer to this is that Israel had been so overrun with false teachers and false prophets that the holiness of God, reverencing and glorifying him as God alone, had been completely trampled underfoot in Israel. Whenever it came to a point in Israel when things got this bad, the Lord would raise up a prophet and send him to the people to warn them that judgment was coming for their rebellion. And some of the most powerful and beautiful descriptions of God's holiness come to us in the sending and raising up of the prophets. Last week we looked at Isaiah. When Israel had defected and Isaiah was commissioned, he saw the glory of God, the Lord, high and lifted up on his throne, the train of his robe filling the temple. This had to be so that the utter glory and power of Christ would be so revealed to the prophet that the burden of his own life as a sinner would be felt, and deep concern for God's people would make his heart bleed to want to go tell them to return to the Lord their God and escape the judgment to come. So as we study these passages of the calling of the major prophets, we are not only deeply overwhelmed as we sort of enter into their experience, we see that though God was coming in judgment, that judgment was necessary to save his elect. In other words, remember what Jesus said before he comes again? Things will get so bad on the earth, the deception will be so great that if it were possible, it would even deceive the elect. I would suggest that deception has everything to do today with the denial of God in his worship and in his holiness, which churches are profaning today. So what we have here, and this is why we learn from history, those who forget their history are doomed to repeat it, we say. What we have here is the Lord coming in fury to save his chosen remnant from this apostasy, to confront the apostate nation, to never forget that God is holy, and that the only way anyone will escape the wrath to come is if they have a covering of the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ that must be received in faith in humble awe of his majesty. I want you for a minute to take a step back with me in time, if you will, to Ezekiel's day and learn what God wanted Ezekiel to know about him. We learned today that the first real meaningful transformation in our lives only comes when we're confronted who we are before this utterly holy God. What we have in Ezekiel 1 is a vision of Christ coming in righteous judgment. If you ever wonder what it will look like when Christ comes, dear listener, here it is. I believe that what's described in Ezekiel 1 is the sign of the Son of Man coming in His glory. That's what it says on that day in Matthew 24. The sun will not give its light, the moon will not shine, and everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in great glory. You want to know that what that will look like? Here it is. Let's study it this week. Verse 1, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And then you will notice in verse 2, that on the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, son of Buzi, notice, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord came upon him. Last week we studied Isaiah's call. He was sent to Israel in the northern kingdom. Now we're looking at what happened in the southern kingdom of Judah. Judgment has begun to happen to Judah. God had been warning them through Jeremiah, the prophet, that this was going to happen. Well, at this point, the first captivity has already occurred, and Ezekiel is among the first group of deportees that has been hauled off into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. This is about 597 BC, and in around 11 years from now, Jerusalem will be totally destroyed. So they will remain in Babylon for a period of 70 years of judgment. So the heaviest judgments are yet to come upon Jerusalem. We should know what's happening in Jerusalem at this moment. At least five nations have joined together in confederacy to stop what the Chaldeans are doing, and Jerusalem is part of this confederacy. In Jerusalem, at the point at which Ezekiel sees this vision, in Jerusalem, right now, it is full of false prophets who are prophesying in the name of the Lord, and lo and behold, guess what they're saying? The Lord's not going to judge, but instead send again prosperity to Judah. God is love. And at this very moment, Ezekiel is over in Babylon. Back in Jerusalem, Jeremiah is contending with all these false teachers. And the first 10 chapters of Jeremiah is devoted to counter all the false messages of these false prophets. Jeremiah warns them, you guys are idolaters, you've polluted the house of the Lord in your worship, you've put high places up. Everyone, says Jeremiah, has turned to their own course. Behold, they've rejected the word of the Lord, and I'm announcing judgment is here. Well, against that, can you imagine what happened when all the prophets of Israel and Judah are saying, don't listen to Jeremiah. Peace, peace. God's not going to judge this temple. How dare he say something like that? Listen to Jeremiah 12. The Lord speaks here. Even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. I have forsaken my house. I've left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. False prophets were saying, no, it's not true. God would never do that. Well, by now, the first deportation has already occurred. And in Jerusalem, Hananiah, the false prophet, has stood up, and this is the message he gives. Now, I want you to think about today, dear listener, the messages that are coming in pulpits and in churches all across our lands. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I've broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I'm going to bring them all back. In the midst of this, the message became so bad that the false prophet started sending letters to the deportees in Babylon saying this, that God would never do such a thing, and that this captivity will be really short, and they're going to get to come home, and prosperity will be returned to them. Dear listener, this is a one-for-one correspondence to the message of pastors everywhere today. The true prophets, the true preachers, the true pastors always announce the law and the gospel. In other words, they announce judgment and salvation. There was a balance, but judgment was preached. Repentance from sin was preached. Warnings were preached. The false prophets, in contradiction to this, only preached deliverance. Do you get that? The false prophets only preached deliverance. No hell, no wrath, no judgment, no sin. Everything was God loves you, God will return you, God will never judge you, God has a plan for you, God is going to give prosperity to you, and they never ever gave a message of repentance from sin, and because that message was absent, the whole nation fell headlong into idolatry in their worship and in their view of God. You know, I study this, dear listener, and I think, deja vu. We're living this. Think about the message. What's happened? A lack of reverence for God, His holiness, and all the lies from false teachers who never confront about sin, who give everything to tickle people's ears, to entertain them, to make them feel good about themselves, to present a God who's only love, and they give half the story, thus making themselves false prophets, speaking the same words, peace, peace, when there is no peace, because they profane God's holiness. Now, all these letters are coming from the false prophets to where Ezekiel is, and it's caused commotion. It's caused commotion. Because there are those who honored, these are those who honored the Lord and did not fight by going away to Babylon. Remember, those who refused to be taken captive were judged. So what we have in Ezekiel 1 is the Lord raising up a counterforce against all of this apostasy, even taking place in Babylon. He has one in Jerusalem with Jeremiah, but now he raises up Ezekiel. Ezekiel here is referenced as 30 years old. He would have been a priest in the temple, but that's not happened. The Lord is raising him up as a prophet. And against all this background of the false prophets dreaming up visions and signs of their own making, the Lord gives Ezekiel a vision. And notice how it's here referenced. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And in verse 4, behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, the radiating out of the midst, the color like amber out of the midst of the fire. Against all the false delusions of the false prophets that God was coming in peace to visit his people, God is showing a vision to Ezekiel that he's coming in wrath. Dear listener, this is the same truth today to those who do not repent, to those who profane God's holiness and worship, to those who make the church a joke, to those who are just silly. He's coming in forceful wrath to judge those who do not believe. But those who believe in Jesus Christ have a covering, and they will be saved in that day by his blood and righteousness. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days are the worship service times. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.